Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni še v eni ediciji Ereš intervjua. Nocoj, oziroma danes večer, tukaj gostimo Andreasa iz dvojca Get Your Gun, ki igrajo nocoj v Channel Zero v sklopu serijalk Level Up. Po zadnji informaciji mislim, da smo trenutno nekje na eni 13. stopni. Pred njimi bo pa odr otvorila muzika Čaka oziroma solo projekt naše Sare Korošec. No, pred njo pa v Gali pregrave tudi Kenny Observer, tako da imamo kar pester večer, ampak da ne bomo kaj preveč blodli. Dajmo začeti kar z intervjujem danes in tukaj z mano zraven je Andreas iz skupine Get Your Gun. Hello, Andreas, how are you?
Hello, I'm good.
All right. I'm just going to start with a really simple one. Can you tell us how were the last few shows you guys had here? Where did you have them?
Here in Slovenia?
No, not in Slovenia, but let's say in Europe.
Oh, yeah. Last yesterday we were in Zagreb.
All right.
Yeah, in Mokvara. That was a cool place. But that was the first show on this leg of the tour. We were home and we did a show in our home city.
Mm-hmm.
And before that we had like shows in Poland and the Baltics. Then we had some other shows in Denmark.
Alright.
Then we had,
so it's all over the place.
All over the place.
Alright. But this is not your first time in Slovenia, right? I think you had it like the first month we actually did here. So how did you find that experience?
Really good. I remember we just talked about it on the way here. I think that was a record in driving far. I think we drove 22 hours to get here.
Holy shit.
Because the tunnel was blocked at 10 o'clock or something.
Damn it, I can't remember. Yeah. It's been like 4 years.
But we had to drive like through Italy. But when we got here and got some sleep, it was really good. I remember that was down in Melikova as well.
Okay.
Yeah, really cool.
Okay, so now this is the big return. New album, new concert. Great. Can't wait to hear you. Now, since we're at the live music topic, right, like what I found really interesting is because you tend to have a more darker music, like Cherry Gun is a bit darker than, you know, your normal alternative rock. And I remember Amon Ra used to also have like a concert just a few months ago. And I found the experience quite cathartic. And when I spoke to the lead singer of Amon Ra, he also kind of mentioned that, yeah, that's like also the point of the shows. When you have such, let's say, darker tones in music, it's usually a very positive feeling towards the audience. So I guess I'm kind of asking, do you find it this to be true also when you perform live? How do you feel?
Well, cathartic is a strong word. I think sometimes it's been used a bit too much.
It is, yeah.
I think a good show is that.
Okay.
A really good show. But we definitely try to make like a live experience all-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be in like an ongoing experience without any breaks, and it's like we want to spread out this world that we're trying to build.
So I guess you're trying to create a little experience for the audience.
Yes,
when you're
very much.
All right. And your new album now, what's it called? Doubt?
Doubt is my rope, back to you.
Right, can you tell us a bit about how this one came to life in you know, difference with your previous album, let's say?
You know, with the first album we toured for 1.5 years, like, all the time, constantly, mm-hmm. and so when we got home, we were all like dizzy almost from, you know,
yeah.
I don't even think I could feel what I wanted to do. So, and when you don't know what you want to do, you should just do something.
All right.
And it's not totally true. I knew that I didn't want to make something as, I was getting tired of the guitar, in a way. Like, I was like, I wanted to get in new ways of playing my, because, I don't know, I started with guitar long before I started singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to be more, how do you say, I think the first album is very much like we're listening to some of it now, a kick in the face.
Yeah, it's very punchy, it's very, it's like kick in the face, in your face.
Yeah.
It's very energetic compared to Doubt is My Back to You.
I think the first one was like trying to, you know, how, like giving the finger to the world in some way. It feels more youthful to me because it's, mm-hmm. it's more like out there. But
yeah.
the other one, the new one, for me, it's more like opening up something internal. In
so
a way.
You would say it's a bit more intimate, right?
Yes, very much, and a lot more. I'm not. The album is not in any way like how do you say, biographical. Okay. But it's a lot more
personal. Yeah,
most definitely. Yeah.
So I mean, because it is a difference listening to the first album and listening to the second one, like The Warring Kind versus Doubt Is My Road Back to You. There seems to be like this, even in the soundscapes. It just, let's say, the Rope is a bit more dynamic. In a sense, it's a bit more open, and I guess I'm kind of wondering, was this something that just kind of happened in the recording process, or was this like some, it took a little bit of initial planning to come up with something like this?
We're very much advanced, like with these two albums, you know, that practice the shit out of stuff, you know, and prepare a lot of stuff for the studio. So of course, something else happens in the studio, and that's what the magic about going in the studio. But we prepare a lot, and we know what we want to do before we go into the studio. And I, as you said, we definitely wanted space to be a part of the album, because like the first one is very like trying to fill all the corners.
Yeah, it's very frequencies all over the place.
And definitely wanted this to be more open, and because when there's space in an album, it feels wider. In some way, and deeper, and whatever, you know.
So I guess when you have less elements, it becomes far more intimate. You can focus on more specific things.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And also, it for me, it feels, not to speak too how do you say, large about our own music, but I felt that the stuff we wrote was more connected to classical music in a way than like rock music in general. We still play rock instruments, you know, that's part of that mythology, but
you don't have a rock approach to it, no, you know, straight four
it's it wasn't, you know, like a riff like some of the other songs, you know, were in the first album. It was more like these worlds that you wanted to open up, and small roles that like keep building up on top of each other, and patience, and
okay, can you tell me, like, listening to the both albums, there seems to be a kind of this, a sense for, let's say, darker style of Americana and, you know, Southern Gothic. At least this is how I interpret it. So I guess I'm kind of wondering, like, do you guys have like a soft spot for the darker side of the American culture and how this intervened with the music, or how did this, you know, how did this evolve?
I definitely like the American sound a lot, but I remember
the old club country.
Sure. Right. But the funny thing is that I kind of always felt that we worked like this. We came from a small city, and I didn't even know that much music. And then we started playing a lot of the songs that are on the first album, and people at the concerts were like, "This sounds like 16 Horsepower or something, or a birthday party, whatever." And we were like, I don't know what that is.
But
and then we listened to it. And
you weren't really influenced by any of those bands, like no Jay Munley, no 16 Horsepower, none of that.
Not before or after.
when
we heard it. I really liked it, but I really liked it. I was like, okay, I feel that many ways. It's like you make something, and then it's after that I find something where I feel related to it. It's like, okay, you know, it feels like some kind of energy throwing around in the world that, you know, hits some people, and then you know, and you feel like, okay, that energy also hit that person.
I guess maybe it was subconsciously that this thing was.
There's a lot of stuff
like,
happening.
Who the hell knows?
Happening down there.
Yeah, but also I wrote in an interview, like this was, I don't know, I think a week ago or something like that. But I read in an interview that that you like to, you know, for lyrics that everybody can interpret, you know, in their own way. And like for your second album, that's called your second, The Rope, A Doubt Is My Rope Back to You, and it's a really spectacular phrase, and I still haven't managed to interpret it. But how do you interpret it?
Oh, you mean the title?
Yeah, the title. The title.
I don't know. It's a very open thing, like. I think it's that this is very simple way of looking at stuff, but it's very, how do you say, it can both be a negative thing and a positive thing.
Yeah.
But it's definitely longing for someone, I don't know. It's still, and that's why I like it. It's still like mm-hmm. it means something. It's not something I think about every day, but okay. but like it's you can see it in many ways. There's many ways to interpret it, and that's what I like about it. And I like that it's an ambivalent feeling that it's giving. Like sometimes stuff you want, stuff you long for, is also stuff that you, how do you say, feel negative about. Okay. So it's like. Yeah, I don't know if that's a good enough answer for you.
Well, I guess it is. So I'm also kind of asking, so you said like it's either positive or negative, right? So how do you view it?
It's both, I think.
To you, it's both. Yeah.
For me, I like to find these small sentences or stuff that keeps being a mystery to me, right. in a way. And that's why they keep being interesting for me, in a way, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when it comes to promotion, promoting this album, you also did, I think, a lyric video. It was like a single shot lyric video, and then there was a music video for "You're Nothing," the song. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, it's looking at it, it seems a bit symbolic. It seems, you know, it seems that there are some images that, you know, were really thought out why they're there, and I'm kind of wondering what was the whole process in creating that, like
like I really enjoy making videos as well, and it's always been a thing that we did with our good friend Jonas Bang, who filmed it. This he was a bit a part of making the idea with this one, but it was more me and I see you wrote it there, Dukefa, and for me, like playing music, like writing music, it's more like I like to do, you know, get some ideas out, and then it doesn't really. I believe that you can have all these images, and if you put them together somehow, because we had all the ideas, but we didn't know how it should be connected in the video. So, but I think, I think it will always make sense.
Because they co-directed it, right?
As I
understood. Yeah. So you had like an idea. So was this something that, you know, when you created the music, have you had a vision for it? Or was this like a later part? You said, okay, we're picking up this song and we're picking up these images.
There was a lot of things, you know. That song is also, You're Nothing, is also very based on a very ambivalent feeling, you know.
Okay.
And I definitely wanted, like, on the album, there's definitely a, how do you say, you could say a popish you and me thing.
Okay.
You know? And sometimes so you like and me is also the same person. You know, it gets weird. But but I definitely had the image of the wild horse in a way. And there's also some other personal stuff with the elderly lady and stuff like that. But it's I don't know. It's very symbolic, but
but again, in a way it's personal, because you actually,
it's my grandmother. Well, if we have to get into it, you know, it always sounds a bit stupid when you explain it, but
I mean,
the scenes with her were like our grandfather got ill early in his life, and she took care of him for most of her life.
Okay.
And so it was also a way to, in a very hidden way, now it's out there, but in a very hidden way to, how do you say, celebrate her, because it's very much about, you know, that song takes the angle of confused, self-destructive, but very selfish man.
Yeah.
Is looking for something that, you know, maybe a female can give to him. not in that way, but like a true connection.
Yeah,
in a way.
All right, fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I think we're done with the questions, to be honest. It was great. Thank you very much, Andreas.
Thank you.
And please, for people listening there, go check him out tonight at around 21 or 9 p.m. at Channel Zero in Metelkova. I guess, what song are we going to pick?
For now?
Yeah,
Now. We're going to hear the song we just talked about, You're Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is You're Nothing in Poslušali ste Radio Student.
You're my baby.
Intervju Radija Študent.